Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
I believe it's the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio, and that's right, I said Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Well, of course, that music means Sean Brooks Stew is here. Stu, how are you?
Okay, except for that bad weather and the bad White Sox start, I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Oh, if you'd like to call into the podcast and talk to Stu or I for some unknown reason, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturdays, as long as I remember what day of the week it is. So expect to see one pop up there sometime tomorrow. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link. It'll take you over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, hey, we'd greatly appreciate that. But don't forget, we also have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, sadly, Stu is not on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I will forward any messages you could possibly have along to Stu. Oh, so all right, we have the first, basically the first 2 days of the Major League Baseball season working on being in the books. Oh, you got any hot takes that you want to share with us?
No, just too early to tell what's going on. I did not catch the final score of the Boston-New York game. I know that was in extra innings. And did you get a final on that one?
Oh, I can tell you that the Yankees won 6-5 in 11 innings.
All right. And did you know who hit a home run for the Yankees today with a man aboard in the first inning?
Anthony Rizzo.
Our good old buddy Anthony Rizzo, correct?
Yep. So, yeah, we, you know, and then the ongoing games here real quick. We have the Phillies are ahead of the A's 7-5. That's in the top of the eighth. The Rays have just taken a 2-1 lead on the Orioles. That's the bottom of the eighth. The Dodgers are up 5-2 on the Rockies in the bottom of the fifth. The Giants have a 3-0 lead on the Marlins. That game is also in the bottom of the fifth. I mentioned the Yankee final, and then as Stu said, the White Sox did lose. They lost 5-4 to the Tigers. Oh, I missed one game. The Mariners are currently ahead of the Twins 2-1 in the top of the sixth. So there you go. You are all caught up with the live games, and we don't have too many more set to kick off, do we? We have the Mets at the Nationals, if they can get that game in today. I know they did last night. The Rangers at the Blue Jays, the Reds at the Braves, the Astros at the Angels, and then the Padres at the Diamondbacks. So there you go.
Well, I'm sure those games will get in, especially the Diamondback game. I know it was very hot in the Los Angeles area. Are the Los Angeles on the road, or are they home?
They are at home.
And the last I heard the other day was it was mid-90s there, so I have a feeling they won't be rained out for their game.
Yeah, I don't think the Angels or the Diamondbacks will have any problems getting their games in tonight. And since they're playing the Masters, I assume the Braves will be okay as well. But I know it's going to be in like either the low 50s or the high 40s, so it's not going to be the best night there. But at least they won't have weather. So.
Yeah, it was pretty miserable at the in Detroit today for their game, but they managed to get it in somehow.
Yeah, no, yeah. Fortunately, no rain. And, of course, the Cubs and the Brewers were scheduled for their second game of that series, but that was postponed due to the weather here because it's basically rained off and on pretty much all day. So
that was probably the wise choice. And I found it very interesting, by the way, that after the game, and I think it was today, that Ross talked to Horner telling him that he wouldn't be in the lineup today, even though he hit the home run yesterday.
Yeah, you probably could have made quite a bit of money if you would have bet Nico Horner hitting the first home run of the Major League season. I bet the odds on that were quite astronomical.
Yeah, if I bet $1,000, you think I would have been okay there?
Oh, yeah, I can only imagine what the actual odds would have been there. I mean, he would have been one of those guys that was up in the, you know, 5 or 10,000 to 1, you know, ideas that, you know, he was gonna, you know, he was gonna hit a home run. So
I wonder if there was actually some people who bet him just as a flyer, but that would have been really a bet that been hard for anybody to make, considering he hasn't hit a home run in
yeah,
2 years or 3 years.
That and the fact that you never know if he's even going to be in the lineup with the way things are going.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
right.
I mean, that would have been a huge flyer to take. And, you know, I mean, you never know. Maybe there was somebody who put, you know, $10 down on him. You know, once the Cubs starting lineup was issued, maybe they just put $10 down on every guy. You know, if you happen to be
yeah.
a Cub fan or something like that. So I guess it is possible, but yeah, I wouldn't expect anybody, if they even took odds on him, you know, it's always possible he wasn't even on the board as the guy.
Yeah, maybe that he wasn't even available to make a bet on. I guess he could probably make a bet on anything to win in Las Vegas, I'm sure.
Yeah, you know, you'd like to think you could. You know, you do wonder, you know, maybe they would have had to look up the odds on him. If you go to the window and say you want to bet on Nico Horner to hit the first home run, they would have probably looked at you a little weird. But, hey, it would have been a huge, huge deal.
It would have been a mega buck payday for sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, even on $10, you figure that would have been still a big ticket to cash.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
I did just realize I had 2 free entries on FanDuel yesterday for baseball, and I forgot to check to see how they did. So I've got to jump in here real quick while we're chatting. I don't even really remember who my lineups were. So I got to see if
I
made any free money.
At least you didn't forget to enter, though.
No, I remembered to enter. I just forgot to look to see how I did. But yeah, I don't think I'm trying to remember what I started with, so I don't know if I managed to pick up some loose change. Oh yeah, I won $2.
All right.
So nothing wrong with that there. I'll take $2 on a. You know, see, the only thing I hate about FanDuel is they send you the free entry, and then if you win, they take the actual entry fee out. So while it was sent to me as a free entry, I won $2, then they took the dollar entry fee away.
So you only won up a net profit of $1.
Yeah. But, again, it's better than losing. So.
Absolutely. Well, you're on a roll.
Yeah.
And what about your fantasy leagues? Of course, it's so early to tell right now.
Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, in one of them I have Liam Hendricks. So that'll tell you how my day's going today.
Yeah, I don't know if I, when he blows his, you know, last year I think he was 30 out of 44 saves, one of the best in the majors, but when he blows a save, he really blows a save. It's not close. He gets hammered really bad, and unfortunately for you, today was one of those games.
So, yeah, and, you know, fortunately it's early enough in the week because we go, you know, this week and next week for week one because they started on Thursday. So I have plenty of time to make up the ground. So
it's going to be hard for the relief pitchers now because there was a shortened spring training and the weather in the Midwest today was not very conducive to good pitching when it's so cold and windy and blustery at Comerica.
Yeah, well, you know, I think the bigger problem is just going to be the fact that, you know, these guys are going to be completely abused, even with the expanded rosters. You know, these guys are just going to be abused because, you know, they don't put starters out there. You know, shockingly, Aaron Nola actually pitched into the seventh inning. But, yeah, I mean, that, you know, that's not going to happen. I mean, I think Giolito probably would have went five for the White Sox had he not got hurt. But I think the A's starter lasted like 2 1/3 before they pulled him. And if I heard correctly, the Yankees and the Red Sox used everybody in their bullpen today because their game went extra inning.
Well, right now there's an expanded roster. There's, I believe there's 28 players at least for the next, what, month or two?
Until May 1st.
Until May 1st. So that's not that long a period of time. Now, do most of the teams pick relief pitchers to fill out those two slots, those last couple of slots?
Yeah, well, there was no limit to how many pitchers they could carry. Once May 1st rolls around, there becomes a limit to how many pitchers can be on the roster. So right now, everybody is just carrying a boatload of pitchers. So.
Yeah, I thought it would last a little bit longer than that, but it's only going to last to the first of the month, which is only 3 weeks away.
So, yeah, well, you know, and by then everybody should be where they need to be. But, I mean, you know, even so in today's game, they still don't let starters pitch.
No. And I think you're right, though.
You know,
I think
Giolito
probably would have gone through. I think he would have pitched five innings today.
Well, you know, like Dan brought up the losses in our fantasy league, but the way starters are handled, we're actually considering getting rid of them. So, because it just doesn't make sense to have.
Yeah, I was surprised that one pitcher you mentioned went into the seventh inning today. That's very unusual for this time of the year.
Yeah, well, there were actually there was one pitcher who pitched 6 2/3 yesterday, and there were three that pitched six innings. Actually, I think Aaron Nola officially pitched six innings, but he pitched into the seventh. He just didn't get any outs. But like you, Darvish got yanked last night with a no-hitter through six.
Yeah, that's kind of the norm now, isn't it, when it comes to no-hitters? You don't see guys finishing. They have a 6-7 inning no-hitter, and they're pulled anyway, depending on the pitch count.
Oh, yeah. You start looking at some of these guys, and it's like, oh, yeah, well, this starter went four innings or that starter went four innings. And, you know, it's just like, okay, you're basically taxing your bullpen to get half the game or more than half the game at this point.
So my question is this, though, what happens to the bullpens in August and September?
Yeah, well, you know, it'll be interesting to see, you know, how it kind of plays out. But, you know, this is the new wave in baseball where, you know, they have all these stupid rules with starters. You know, you can't go through the lineup a third time. You know, you can't throw, you know, so many pitches and, you know, just things like that. So...
Yeah,
you know, it's
like
you
pointed out many times, with all that protection, there seems to be a huge amount of injuries anyway.
Yeah, you know, and that's the oddest thing is, even though they're like, oh yeah, well, you know, we're taking care of this or we're doing that or whatever it works out to, these guys still get hurt right and left.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, great. Why?
I wonder if they would ever do a rethink and saying maybe the reason that so many pitchers are getting hurt is that we've been mollycoddling them a little bit and limiting their pitch count and the amount of innings they pitch, and they don't build up enough arm strength that way, and that's why they get hurt.
Yeah, well, you know, and in a sense, that's what a lot of it is, you know. you know, especially at this level, is they just don't throw enough to where they're strong. You know, they probably pitch too much as youngsters, you know, because, I mean, if you've ever been to a Little League game or, you know, you have kids in Little League, you know, they're out there. You know, if you're a good pitcher, you're getting your maximum amount of innings every week. I don't know what it is now, but, you know, I can't remember when I coached what it used to be, but if you had a good pitcher, you rode them.
And I thought that, I always thought that in Little League the pitchers can't throw curveballs. Is that doesn't hold anymore?
No, that used to be the case, but not anymore. They can throw whatever they want to throw.
And aren't they afraid of damaging the arms of these young kids pitching with throwing curveballs?
You know, you would think they would be, but unfortunately most of these guys are just living vicariously through these kids, so they don't care. You know, they want to win too badly.
Right.
You know, that's all about.
Is there more wear and tear in the arm when you throw a slider as compared to a curveball?
You know, they say there is, and I'm willing to bet if you ask Kerry Wood, he would tell you there is.
Yeah. Yeah, Kerry, yeah.
Yeah, you know. So, you know, if you're not releasing properly or there's just something a little odd about your mechanics or something, you know, those injuries seem to crop up no matter what.
And even if you have perfect mechanics, you can never tell. We always talked about Mark Pryor, who supposedly had perfect mechanics. Well, how long did his career last?
Yeah, they said that how many times about him? You know, perfect mechanics and he'll never get hurt, and that's all he did was get hurt.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
Well, it was like, how perfect were these mechanics that they, you know, couldn't keep him healthy?
Yeah, you always wonder about that. And supposedly he has perfect mechanics, and he still get hurt and had a short major league career. So what happened? Maybe they weren't as perfect as we thought they were.
Yeah, there definitely was something wrong there, you know. And, you know, then there were guys like, you know, Pedro Martinez, who everybody kept saying he would get hurt, you know, because he was smaller. And, you know, the way he threw, he would become injured. And I don't think he ever had a serious injury.
No, he was fortunate throughout his career. He was. Do any pitchers throw screwballs anymore, or is that kind of a or afraid that would really damage your arm too much to use that?
Yeah, you know, I think they have different versions. You'll hear them talk about, like, a backdoor changeup or slider or something like that. So there are still pitches that do that. I just don't know if they call them screwballs anymore.
Yeah, you think that could cause serious damage to your arm if not done exactly right.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure it has to, you know, to certain pitchers. But, like, I don't think Fernando Valenzuela had any serious arm trouble until maybe later on in his career.
Yeah, he was kind of a workhorse, especially in the early stages of his career.
But, well, you know, and that's how it used to be. Those guys would just, you know, you'd pitch. It was your turn to pitch. You went out to pitch every fifth day or fourth day or however your rotation was set up.
Yeah. Well, you think of Bob Gibson and Fergie Jenkins and those guys, and they certainly pitched deep into the games every game.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just... You know, those days seem to be gone.
Yeah, they are certainly gone, and you often wonder, has the pendulum swung too much the other direction? Maybe as we suggest it has, they're just going too far in protecting these pitchers.
Yeah, you know, and that's how it goes.
Yeah, I said, excuse me, I had to use the cough button. I forgot to press the button, and you'll have to forgive me on that one.
Yeah, I do. I do it all the time. I can never. I have it on my headphones, and I can never get it to where I can actually hit it in time to stop it. So I'm sure by now everybody's used to it. So, you know, they get a variety here. We haven't had Dan's dog barking in a while, though. I kind of miss that. So.
Oh well, maybe he'll get back into the groove sooner or later. Did you saw the replay of the White Sox, the finish to the White Sox game today?
No, I actually haven't seen the play that won the game for Detroit yet.
But that was very unusual.
I just
ending.
Missed it.
Very. I think I mentioned to you an email. In all the times I've been watching baseball, that has to be one of the most unusual finishes to a game I've ever seen.
So yeah, you were saying it was Baez who hit the ball, right?
Yes. So Baez hit the game-winning hit. And I think that Pollock really should have maybe caught the ball, but somehow it kind of a leaping catch, and it bounced off his glove. And then we've seen this happen before. It bounced off his glove, and he caught it again. But when it bounced off his glove, it must have just barely touched the wall. Of course, that means the ball's in play, and the game's over with the runner on third base.
Yeah, and that's how they ended up losing.
Yeah, and it was a very, very quick replay, by the way. Very, very quick.
Well, that's a switch. Did the umpire explain it? Did he
yes.
come on and
well,
explain?
He just said that I heard him say was that the replay has the ruling on the field has been reversed. The game is over.
Oh.
He didn't say anything about the ball scraping the wall. I don't ever hearing him say that, but I did hear him say that they reversed the ruling and the game is over. Well, as the old Baron would say, that is all the people need to know.
Yeah. So, yeah, I thought they were going to go into a little more detail when they said that the umpires were going to explain that. You know, the calls, but so far I haven't heard anybody.
Yeah. Well, I guess this must have been really apparent that everybody, when they showed the replay, that it scraped on the wall, though it was not all that easy to see on the replay.
So, yeah, that makes it even odder that it was a fast replay, because generally
yeah.
something like that, you think they would take – you know, a ton of looks at and make sure it was okay.
Yeah, well, both Steve Stone and Ely said the game's over. That ball scraped on the wall, and he was right on the money.
So, yeah, well, you know, it's odd how good he is with, you know, certain things. It's like, man, how could he tell that?
Yeah, well, he's been doing this a long time, and I always regret that he left the Cubs and moved to the White Sox, but he's one of the best color men in the business.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. So, you know, that's the big plus of, you know, having him on board. It's like, all right, he definitely knows what he's talking about. And, you know, I mean, fortunately, he doesn't, you know, sugarcoat things. You know, he's not a homer. If the White Sox make a mistake, he says the White Sox made a mistake.
Yeah. Sometimes they may give a nod to the White Sox on a borderline pitch that the umpire, they think, missed.
Yeah, it's just kind of, you know, that's how they are. At least they, you know, they're not as over the top as some are. If an ump misses a call going the other way, you know, or against the team they're broadcasting for, I mean,
no,
some guys are just
no.
ridiculous.
Yeah.
So if, you know, if the team they work for doesn't get recalled.
Yeah, no, they're pretty objective, and they did a good job today, and I'm sure the Detroit fans are happy about the outcome of that game after trailing 3-0 for most of the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good win to start the season for Detroit there. You know, especially against the White Sox, who are, you know, who are predicted by, you know, everybody to win the division. So, you know, and even though it's just the first game, it's, you know, better to get the win than take the loss.
Sure. Yeah, they do have an interesting team, Detroit, and I think they've improved themselves, and I think they'll probably wind up in second place.
Yeah, well, I don't, you know, I think Minnesota is pretty good. So, I wouldn't be surprised to see those two teams kind of battle it out for a second.
Usually when Minnesota has a very bad year like it did last year, they bounce back pretty quickly and have a good turnaround season. So I think you're right about that. I think they'll be okay this season also.
Yeah, I am. You know, they made a really, to me, kind of an odd trade yesterday with the Padres when they shipped off their closer and an outfielder for a starting pitcher and a reliever. So I'm kind of curious who's going to close games for them.
Yeah, they must have someone in mind, because I was surprised they made that deal myself, because you don't usually get rid of a closer like that.
You know, and I know the pitcher they got back is, you know, he's considered a future closer. But I don't know if it's, you know, it's kind of like, oh, okay, well, you know, are they going to take a shot there with this guy who, you know, may not be an actual closer? You know, it seemed like a lot to risk for a team that, you know, again, a lot of people thought was a playoff contender. You know, if not winning the division, then possibly a wild card.
Well, what about the starting pitcher they got returned? Is he fairly solid?
Yeah, they got Chris Paddock back in return. And a few years ago in San Diego, he was really good. He's had some struggles lately. You know, they just kind of looks like they added him at the back of their rotation for like a five. So he should be really, really good there.
Well, they're hoping that switching leagues was going to help him.
Yeah. So, yeah, you know, like now they have dual closers listed. Instead of the one, they have Tyler Duffy and Jorge Alcala listed as their – oh, actually, they have four. They have the guy they traded for as well, who was Emilio Pagan, and then Caleb Selbar are all listed as closers for the Twins.
Yeah, I'm never sure how the closer by committee goes, though. Usually one guy will establish himself as a closer among those four pretty quickly.
Yeah, it generally doesn't work out. So it's kind of – but, yeah, it was kind of interesting that, you know, I guess they really thought they needed the starting pitcher.
Well, how badly can they use a guy if he's slotted in as a number five, though? I mean, it was kind
you know,
because
they gave up a pretty good closer in Taylor Rogers, so –
Well, you think this solidifies San Diego as the number two team in the National League West?
You know, you would like to think so, but, you know, you just never know. They were such a disappointment last year, and, you know, they're still without Tatis. So, it's hard for me to get on their bandwagon after last year.
Yeah, I saw that he was still out of action, and, boy, he's been out quite a while. And is there any estimate of time as to when he's slated to return?
No, I forgot what his timetable was. I thought originally I saw a month. But I don't know, you know, how correct that is, or if there's been an update on him or anything. So
they need him healthy, for sure. He's a tremendous ball player if he's sound.
Yeah, well, you know, we'll have to see. So, and then I know some other news. You know, the Yankees were trying to get a contract done with Aaron Judge because he'll hit free agency. I believe it's actually this year, and they offered. It ended up being 7 years at what I read 230. This article says 213.5. Judge apparently wants $36 million a year for 9 or 10 years.
That's a lot
so,
of money.
So, yeah, that would take him to age 38 or 39.
Yeah, and he's got the kind of a frame, and I'm not sure how, if he would last that long as a top-level ball player.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, he stayed healthy last year. The year before, you know, the shortened COVID season, he only played in 28 games. But he stayed healthy last year. And we'll have to see, you know. But that just kind of seems like like I don't have a big deal with the salary number because. You know, Max Scherzer gets $43 million a year, and Mike Trout actually makes $36 million a year. But to give it to him over 10 years is just nuts.
No. Maybe a 7-year deal would be more prudent. And when it's all said and done, I think they're going to make a deal with him eventually.
Well, he said that he would not negotiate with them during the season. So today was the last day because their season started. So we'll have to see if he sticks to his word.
Yeah, it's a lot of money to turn down, though.
So, well, you don't think somebody would give it to him on the open market?
I'm sure they would.
So, you know, that's always the big thing there is, you know, will somebody step up and hand them that kind of money?
Well, how does a ball player protect himself from a catastrophic injury that would stop his career insurance-wise? So does he have to cover the cost of an insurance policy, or would the team pick up the insurance policy? Or something like that.
Well, I know the team gets insurance on the contract, but the player himself, you know, would just be like anybody else and be responsible for their own insurance.
Well, obviously it would be in their best interest to do something to protect themselves.
Yeah, and, you know, I would like to think most guys probably carry, you know, something. You would think.
Yeah.
It would be shocked if they didn't. So. You know, and I know we did have another extension sign, not that we see a lot of this guy because he's on the West Coast, but the Mariners were able to add 4 years to J.P. Crawford's deal, their starting shortstop. So now he's signed for he signed through 2026, and the total of the deal is 5 years for $51 million. But what they added on was 4 years at 46.15. So he'll get a big bump in salary after this year.
Yeah, well, by today's standards, that seems like a reasonable deal for the team.
So, yeah, you know, and that'll take him till he's 32, you know. But if you remember, Crawford was a washout with the Phillies. He was a big-time prospect, and he washed out when the Phillies gave him a shot. And even the first year when he went to Seattle, he struggled. But the last 2 years, he's been solid. So,
yeah.
You know, maybe the Mariners have something they can, you know, kind of anchor their shortstop position with and see how that works out for them.
Yeah, it's funny how some of these guys can finally seem to find what they've been lacking in terms of production and turn it around and become a great asset to their ball club.
So, yeah, you know, and sometimes, you know, you need that change of scenery, you know, especially a place like Philly, you know, where if you struggle, they let you know you're struggling. You know, fortunately
yeah.
for Kyle Schwarber, I believe he hit a home run in his very first at bat in a Philly uniform, so he should be okay at least for a couple days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I've pointed out many times that the Philly fans are the toughest in the majors.
Yeah. Well, in some cases, most people consider them the worst fans in sports.
Yeah, I can go along with that. I've told you the story many times, of course, about their longtime player, Del Ennis. Great hitter in his day, by the way. And one day he went 4-for-4, and then he went up for his fifth to play appearance and didn't get a hit, and they booed him.
Yeah. So, well, that sounds like something they would do.
Yeah, they did it. They actually did it.
You know, that's just kind of how it goes there, you know. I think that's the place they actually booed Santa Claus one year, if I remember correctly, like an Eagles
yeah.
game. No.
Yeah, they're not the most pleasant fans in the world.
Yeah. So, but all right, well, I did read today with the NBA regular season winding down and now that the Lakers are officially eliminated that LeBron James is taking the rest of the year off. So that means there'll be, you know, no more coverage of the Lakers. But here locally, we are dealing with a struggling basketball team. The Bulls do play tonight. They're playing the Charlotte Hornets. The Bulls are currently on a 3-game losing streak. The Hornets did win their last game, but they are the 10th seed right now. It doesn't look like they're going to – well, they are only a game out of what would be the 8th seed, so it's a much bigger game for Charlotte than it is Chicago because they're 2 games behind Toronto. You know, I know – you know, the hopes and the dreams of the Bulls fans came crashing down with the way this team has played, but they are a 2.5-point favorite tonight. Do they get a win? You're going to give some points away with the Bulls and give them a win tonight and break that losing streak and maybe
Boy,
get a little momentum going into the game?
They're such a hard team to figure out. I would like to think they could beat Charlotte tonight, but if they lost by 15, that wouldn't surprise me either. They're a very strange team, especially the last 20 games or so. You never know with them. They get crushed by the teams that we know are going to beat them badly, like Miami, of course, and Milwaukee and Boston. But they should beat Charlotte, but I have no confidence in them doing it.
So, yeah, and, you know, it looks, as of now, the Bulls are going to – they're matched up with the Celtics in the first round. That could change because the Celtics are only a half game behind the Bucks for the 2 seed. So it's possible that they could slide into the 2 seed, but then either way they would be getting Boston or Milwaukee. And I don't know how good of a matchup that is either way there for them.
I figure if they play Boston in the first round, they have a chance to win at least one game. But if they played Milwaukee, I think it would be 4 and done.
Well, Milwaukee has had some playoff stinkers in their time. Even when they won the title last year, they had some bad playoff games. So maybe the Bulls could steal one if, you know, Milwaukee goes out and just has a bad night.
Yeah, but at best, I'm saying that the opening series for the Bulls will go no more than 5 games.
So yeah, and now are you a believer here? You know, it looks like, you know, the Nets are in the play-in. Everybody's buying them. If they finish in the 7th or the 8th spot, they either get the Heat or then it would be the Bucks or the Celtics, whoever the Bulls don't get. Are you buying them as a viable contender now that, you know, they got Kyrie and Durant is apparently healthy? you know, do they pull the upset off and win that first round series?
It could happen. It could happen. I could see them winning the first round series, but I think it would go to full seven games, no matter who they played. Because if they're healthy, they could be a very dangerous team.
You know, and obviously the big break for them is they're not playing Toronto, because then Kyrie would be unable to play in Toronto. So they catch that break at least.
Yeah, I guess he has never been vaccinated. Is that the reason?
No, he had zero interest. I forgot. He said he was making a statement or something, but it was, you know, when anything that comes out of his mouth is BS. So I don't believe anything he said.
Yeah, well, you know, Canada is very stringent when it comes to that. So you better be vaccinated if you want to participate in the playoff games in Toronto.
Yeah, well, and that will actually affect some baseball teams, because there are some Yankees, Aaron Judge being one of them, that are not vaccinated. And I don't believe Anthony Rizzo is either, because of, you know, his cancer. So that will be two guys that I don't even believe they can travel into Canada without proof of vaccination.
No problem. They can't. They have to. They won't be able to play.
Yeah, they would be left. You know, and I don't know, you know, right now it looks like it's in Toronto and Philadelphia. I haven't heard any stories about any 76ers who aren't vaccinated, so that shouldn't be an issue, you know, unless something comes out that we don't know about.
Right, and, yeah, there's some interesting scenarios there, but right now, is Miami in first place now?
Yeah, they actually clinched the number one seed last night with their win.
So it's Boston and Milwaukee are vying for the two spot.
Two spot, yeah. Milwaukee is a half a game ahead of Boston right now, and I'm under the impression it looks like Milwaukee has two games left and Boston has one. So it's gonna kind of depend on, you know, if they're that interested in playing for the two seed, or if they care, you know, so like some teams don't care where they're seeded unless it's the number one seed. And you would think Milwaukee would get a win tonight as they're playing Detroit, who in reality probably doesn't want to win the game because, you know, they want those ping pong balls.
Right. Yeah, you got to chalk that one up for Milwaukee for sure.
Yeah, you would think. And that they wrap up their season against Cleveland, who isn't playing for anything either right now. So they've got a couple games that they should win. And let me see who Boston wraps up against with their final game here, as long as my computer wants to cooperate with me here. And yeah, they wrap up. Oh, they got a game against Memphis. Of course, Ja Morant is out still. But
that's still an easy game, though.
Yeah, Memphis has played well. You know, even though he's been out, you know, they hung around and they're still the two seed out west.
Yeah, they've been the big surprise in the NBA this season. No question about that.
Yeah. Yeah, they are. They would actually, if they were in the Eastern Conference, they'd have the best record. They're 55-25. They have lost their last couple games, but it's not going to affect their seeding at all because they're four games ahead of Golden State. So,
I guess the important issue is that the top four teams in the playoffs get the home court advantage for the first two rounds, correct?
Yes.
So the team that's the four and five teams, that's an important issue then. As it stands right now, what's the difference in the standings between the four and the five team?
Philadelphia is two games ahead of Toronto, and Dallas is two games ahead of Utah out west. So I don't know if either team would be able to make up that ground.
Probably not. There's, what, only a couple of games left in the season?
Yeah. Yeah, and it looks like each team has two games left. All four of those teams have two games left. So, you know, somebody would probably have to lose two, and, you know, somebody else probably have to win two. Dallas could go past Golden State. They're only a game behind Golden State, so Dallas could move into the three spot.
And drop Golden State to their four. Well, as long as Golden State gets wise in the four spot, they get the home court advantage for the first two rounds anyway.
Yeah. You know, and then Denver is only a half a game behind Utah, so Denver could actually jump to five and Utah could end up at six, depending on how, you know, all these things play out, of course. But it looks like Denver only has a game left and Utah has two. So it would have to really fall Denver's way for it to work out.
Yeah, it's some interesting things to take in consideration as the NBA rolls to the end of their regular season. Oddly enough, by the way, the NHL season, regular season, doesn't end until the end of the month.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that when you emailed me that this morning. I thought for sure it would be really close to wrapping up, but yeah, no, they've still got a ways to go.
And I thought that pretty much they usually end of their season similar to the time of the NBA in years past. And
yeah,
I don't know if it's because of COVID or what.
Yeah, I was wondering, I think they pushed the start of the season back, and that's why we're running a little longer.
Yeah, it'll be tough for them rating-wise, then because when they start their playoffs, it'll be almost like an afterthought because the NBA will be in full swing in their playoffs, and baseball will be there, and, of course, don't forget the USFL.
Yes, so... Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they continue to put games on ABC where at least they're, you know, on a major network. And I don't know, I would assume TNT has playoff games as well. So
I would think TNT more. And I wonder why ABC, the main ABC channel, would even consider putting a playoff game on there because of the small ratings they would generate.
Yeah, well, they need something to run against, you know, the other things going on. You know, if they don't have an NBA playoff game, you know, you got to run something, and hockey would do a better rating than, you know, whatever else they might throw on there,
yeah,
sports-wise.
Sure,
you know, because they've been filling that Saturday afternoon slot. I believe there's even one tomorrow. I'm trying to remember. Is it Philadelphia and Washington tomorrow? I think that might be who it is. Let's see if I can find it here really quick. Yeah, it's Washington at Pittsburgh tomorrow. So you get Ovechkin and Crosby matched up.
Yeah, well, of course, that's always... You got two of the top players going at it, so that always generates some interest. Two of the best players in the league.
Both teams are playoff teams. You know, Pittsburgh is actually 6 points ahead of Washington in the standings, you know, in their division, the Metropolitan Division. So, you know, the game has some meaning because, you know, Washington they've only played 7 games while Pittsburgh has 72. So, you know, that they could catch them easily.
There might be some interest in that game.
So, yeah, you know.
I don't anticipate the ratings going through the roof, though, for that one.
No, you know, and I mean, Saturday afternoon, you know, the ratings aren't huge for anything as it is, because if the weather's nice, you know, a lot of people are out. So,
and don't forget the Masters will be on,
yeah,
too. Don't forget the Masters will be on.
Yeah.
A lot of people will be watching that as well.
You know, yeah, Tiger Woods is going to draw a lot of interest because he's playing the weekend. He made it, you know, he'll make it into the weekend.
He made the cut today, right?
Yeah, the cut was like five over or something like that. So I don't know if his round is in, but he should be. He should have made the cut easily.
Well, I know he shot 71 the first game, the first day, but you said he wasn't doing as well today, the last week.
Yeah, he didn't do as well today. Let me see if I can find the scoreboard here. And
he's probably done by now, I would think.
Should be, but I unless there was a, any. It's just me trying to chase down the scoreboard the way they've got it set up, because everything, looking on ESPN, everything, they want you to buy, go on the app and go buy the app. And, it's like, no, I don't want to buy the app. I just want to see who the score is. I know Scott Scheffler got out to a big lead. I think he shot, he's 8 under. After two rounds, he's got a 5-shot lead, and he's still on the course. He can actually add to that, so that's huge. But let me see if I can find Tiger here.
Oh, I'm sure Tiger is not going to be that. He's probably, if he's 140, 144 after two rounds, he'd be happy at probably higher than that.
Yeah, here he is. Yeah, he's 2 over after two rounds. He's going to make
it. Is that 146?
145, actually. So.
Well, yes, then he did make the cut, but he's about, 9 or 10 strokes off the lead.
Yeah, he's way off with Scheffler being at 8 under. We'll have to. He's been 5 under today, so we'll have to see. If he adds to it or if he gives anything back. He's got two holes left to play. He's going to have a pretty
solid.
For the
next two games, because of his legs, it's got to be worrying. And the wear and tear every day is going to be worse, because don't forget that he had that bad accident 14 months ago. And he wasn't concerned about his game itself. He was more concerned about the walking aspect of it. That's got to be very tough for the last two rounds for him.
Right now, the projected cut is +4, so he'll make it. No issue there. He'll get in no problem.
Now, even if he's shooting 72, 73 tomorrow, I'm sure the TV coverage will be on him anyway.
Yeah, they've literally shown every shot he's made the first two rounds on ESPN. So I don't know if they have the coverage tomorrow or if it goes to NBC. CBS, I think, has the
CBS,
matches.
I think it's CBS for the last two rounds.
Depending on who has the coverage, I'm sure they'll do the exact same thing, because he's gonna land you the ratings you're looking for.
Well, in addition to CBS covering the Masters, doesn't there any couple other channels covering it at the same time? Because obviously there's more participants that can be covered than just one TV channel covering the game, covering all the players.
Yeah, no, what they usually do, and I don't know if they're doing this for the Masters, is the Golf Channel starts the coverage.
Right.
And they show the early stuff, and then it's picked up by whatever network is carrying it. But I don't know, I can't seem to find the TV schedule here, so I don't know.
We're pretty well certain that CBS will be covering in prime time tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, they'll probably pick up the coverage at 2 p.m. like they generally do for golf.
Right.
And so maybe the Golf Channel will have it, or it's possible that CBS has their own sports network, so it's possible they may do the early stuff, and then just switch over when, you know, when it's time.
But I think you're right. They'll look for a big surge in their ratings because Tiger will be playing tomorrow and Sunday.
Yeah. So yeah, they basically got what they wanted. You know, they wanted Tiger to be able to play the entire weekend, and it looks like he's going to be able to.
Yeah. Well, you got to give him credit because that was a horrific injury that he suffered, and I don't know if it was ever disclosed what caused it. I don't know if it's medication he was taking
if I remember correctly, blamed it on him speeding.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know how much belief I have with that story, but you know they're not gonna give us anything else. So.
No. But yeah, he was in danger of having his leg amputated early on.
Yeah.
Was that severe of an injury?
Yeah, it was bad. You know, it really was. But you know, he's you know, came back and at least he got to play in the Masters. I don't know how many other tournaments he'll look to play or you know, any of that stuff, but you know, hey, you know, he's out there giving it a go.
Yeah, you gotta give him credit for that. And he is one of the best golfers in history, of course, along with Nicklaus and Gary Player and some others, but the guy is, Ben Hogan, Sam Snead, you can't take away what he's accomplished, for sure.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you know, unfortunately, he never got to, you know, where a lot of people thought he was going to get. You know, everybody expected him to pass Jack Nicholson and all that stuff, and he hasn't been able to accomplish that.
No,
but,
no.
You know, still, yeah, he's still looked at as one of the, you know, the best of all time, and I'm sure there are people out there who consider him the best.
And how old is his son? His son plays golf now, too. I'm not sure how old his son is.
Oh, yeah, you know, I don't know off the top of my head. I don't believe he's too old. You know, maybe he's a teenager. So, I'm trying to remember. I think his name is Charlie. Is that the name?
Well, I'm sure he's a talented golfer in his own right, but he's got a lot to live up to, though.
Yeah, you know, they played together in a tournament the last time he played. So, you know.
Oh, maybe he's in college. I'm not really sure.
2009 he was born.
No,
so,
he's much younger than that. He's only 13.
Yeah, so all right, well, let's get out of here.
Thank you very much for doing that. But if you missed out, all you have to do is head over to cleveland.com and you can listen to it back down below. All right, have a great weekend, everybody. Everybody, Dave, I'm out of time.